This is Michelle.
And this is Andrea.
And this is Black Girls Vibe. Andrea, how goes it today?
It's going great on this Sunday, August Indeed. 25th.
Indeed, the year of our Lord 2019.
Yes.
So Amen. Black Girls Vibe has been up to a little bit out in these sports streets.
Yeah, we had a little outing.
We did.
On last Saturday, the 17th.
Yep.
Caught a little baseball action at SunTrust Park with our hometown Atlanta Braves, and LA Dodgers were in town that weekend.
Bravos and Dodgers.
Yeah. Good little homestand, good little matchup. I think at the time they were both, first in their respective divisions.
Yep.
So it made for a good weekend.
It did. It was an evening game, 7:20. And thanks to all the Tribers who came out and supported.
Yeah.
We had a nice little crowd.
We did.
Of friends who all kind of support the Tribe. So we want to thank all you guys. You know who you are. Thank you for coming out. So, yeah, the Braves actually won the game 4-3. Mm-hmm. Their pitcher struggled a little bit. They had to go ahead and call him home. In the eighth, he kind of got a little, less than on point. They had to pull him, but the relief pitcher came on in and brought us home. So it was a fun game, and we're hoping to have a few more outings of that ilk coming up. We are getting towards the end of the preseason in NFL, so we will have a full on slate of games coming up. How was the preseason game you caught with the Falcons the other night?
Right. So it was my first preseason game of this NFL season. And true to form, the Falcons starters looked pretty good early on. Julio did not play this game, which was fine. Matt Ryan made a few good plays and actually ran for some yards. Still needs to work on his sliding game a little bit, but, the kicker currently leaves a lot to be desired. He missed a 39-yard field goal attempt.
How much did they lose by? Because I know they lost.
They did.
I saw that they lost. I wouldn't say I'm like, I know they didn't win.
No, they did. I don't recall the final score. We actually left before the game ended.
Sure.
They played the Washington Redskins. And where we the Falcons have played them well in the regular season, the Falcons haven't won a preseason game, I think, in like the last two or three seasons.
Preseasons?
Yes.
So did you get to see the kid Haskins with the Redskins? Did they have him out for any series?
So it's possible. I honestly wasn't paying close attention at the beginning of the game to the Washington Redskins.
Fair enough.
So it's possible. And if he did start, then he looked pretty decent. He looked pretty good.
Okay.
It's the same thing with the Falcons, like between the kicker, and they just have had a lot of penalties.
Yeah.
Early on, which is kind of, I don't know. They need to correct that, because they had a few in the first quarter. So if they clean up the game and, starters will be ready to play, then we'll see.
Sure. And is it correct that Julio tends to sit out? I mean, he's kind of sitting out the preseason. That's his kind of veteran's right or prerogative, in addition to the whole contract negotiation.
Right.
Kind of pending.
Yeah.
It wasn't likely that he's going to be seen this preseason anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but it was a nice, fun outing at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium that Thursday evening.
Awesome. Well, glad you were able to get to catch a little preseason action. I have not and will not be that fortunate. I know that this upcoming Thursday is the last, I guess, considered the fourth week. So the fourth week of the preseason, last week of the preseason. And we will be at another sporting event.
Yes.
For a decent part of this week.
Yes.
You want to tell the people what we're about to do?
Yeah, we are making the trek up to New York to watch some early action of the U.S. Open.
Indeed.
Catch us some good tennis. So, yeah, mm-hmm. It's pretty exciting.
It is pretty exciting. So we will catch, currently we're slated to catch Night Session on Wednesday, Day and Night on Thursday, Day on Friday, with some potential to catch the Night on Friday, kind of depending on who ends up playing Friday night.
Right. Yep.
Especially if it's somebody that we haven't gotten a chance to catch the previous days or whatever. So as folks know by now, we have the day one, day two round of play, schedule of play that's out. And Serena and Maria Sharapova are playing Under the Lights tomorrow night in Arthur Ashe, or on Ashe. And I'm excited about it. I don't have any reason to think that. I think Serena is 19-2.
That sounds about right.
When she comes up against, is it wrong to call her the cheating Russian?
If it's factual,
it's accurate, right?
So
she's a cheater and she's Russian.
She's Russian.
I want to get her nationality correct.
Sure,
I'm pretty sure she's Russian.
We'll go with that. Sure, yeah. So I mean, Rashida, she was banned. So
right. The cheater.
Yes, she is Russian.
Okay, the cheating Russian. So
yes,
I don't have a lot of fear behind. I don't have a lot of fear behind it. I'm just looking forward to another occasion in which Serena puts any doubt about her dominance over this woman to bed. Hopefully once and for all.
I hope so. I do wish that we were there on Monday, or that their matchup was later when we would be in town, because I would love to see that match live.
Right. No doubt.
But yeah, this whole rivalry, it's not
much of a rivalry.
It's not. It's so one-sided.
Of a rivalry. Every year, Harvard Yale is like the big rivalry for us, for Yale. But the weekend before, if I'm not mistaken, we play Princeton.
Mm-hmm.
Princeton swears up and down it's got a rivalry with Yale.
Oh.
Like, you can't tell Princeton that we not beefing. Like, no.
No.
It's with Harvard. Like, and just... similarly, this is a made-up beef.
It's the one
beef.
The one beef and not the two.
Like, right. It's a one-sided beef. Like, y'all. Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. At least that was the schedule when I was in college. So, yeah, they always made much more of a big deal about our game than Yale ever did. But that's neither here nor there. So we got Serena playing tomorrow. I think Venus is up tomorrow as well, earlier in the day. Your boy Federer is tomorrow.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken. And Joker is maybe 11 o'clock tomorrow.
Okay.
Nadal, of the big three, Nadal is Tuesday.
Okay. So depending on how those matches play out, we have a good chance to see
some
of our favorites.
Exactly. So I know we saw Joker 3 years ago.
Right.
And I think it's I can say with some confidence he will win tomorrow. And he's playing during the day tomorrow, so they might put him on under the lights on Wednesday night.
Right.
Ooh. So I think there's some chance we could see Joker when we go on Wednesday night. So, obviously we're keeping our fingers crossed that stars will align themselves in a way that we'll get to see Serena. And Coco plays Tuesday.
Tuesday? Okay.
I think. So we should see Coco on Thursday. I'm declaring it in all the names. Coco advances,
that.
And we're gonna see Coco on Tuesday. And I think Osaka plays on Tuesday too.
Okay, so a good chance to see both
Please
of them.
Tell me I'm not making these things up. I'm gonna let me make sure I'm not just completely pulling this out of a hat. But I thought I had it kind of committed to memory. So yeah, all of that is to say, we're pretty geeked about this trip up to New York. Our homie Rashida West and another tennis aficionado. She and Andrea kind of wear that crown between the three of us. I'm just a novice learning these things. But Rashida will be joining us. We're pretty excited about it.
Yes.
She's kind of somewhat of our like in-house expert on some things. So she's gonna be the one I imagine who will be telling us like the ones we need to watch. The games that we need to go see that aren't on Ashe or Armstrong, the matches we need to see that aren't on those major courts. So, yeah, really, really, really looking forward to it.
Yeah, should be fun. So we'll have a lot to report back.
Indeed.
From our experience.
Yes, yes, yes. And that we may be doing some doing some Facebook living from the scene based on a rogue poll that Rashida put on our Facebook page. And a number of our members indicated, our tribers indicated that we should do a live session, at least one from the U.S. Open. So you'll probably see us in these live streets sometime between, I would say, Wednesday and Saturday.
Yes.
So let's kick off the substantive conversation around what's been going on in these. Let's talk about these NFL streets, child, because the block is hot.
Oh, my goodness.
The block is very hot.
It's real hot. Okay. So what do you want to start with?
We got to start with the hottest thing, because it's less than 12 hours. I've only had water today, like water and coffee. Hours. 12 hours, years. I am. Yeah.
Like that's
12 amazing. Hours, no years. Don't even try to break that down, Andrew.
It's point. Oh, 12. Carry the one.
12, carry the one. 12 hours. It's been less than 12 hours since Indianapolis Colt quarterback, 29-year-old Andrew Luck, announced his retirement from the NFL. Now, Andrea, I'm going to ask you the way that folks were asking one another on SportsCenter, like it was the OJ chase. Where were you when you found out Luck was... People treated that like it was like a moment. Like,
really?
Are we really treating this like it's this kind of, this is just as big as when Jordan retired in 93. No. Okay. It's as big as when Jim Brown retired in 64, 65. I think it was 64. No, it's big. It's big. I don't want to downplay.
Right.
That, you know, how big it is, but it's big for different reasons, and it's not as big as a Jordan or Brown retirement. Because starting off, they both retired after having amassed at least one ring.
Facts.
And Jim Brown just having come off the season where he won the ring with, if they were giving rings, with the Browns in 64. Like, that was huge because he was the man at that time as far as football. So for him to announce it and to walk away from the game and never look back, huge moment. Jordan, same thing in 93. By the time of his first retirement, he had won three rings.
Right.
And literally was quitting at what was viewed as his prime.
Right.
But after his father was tragically murdered, so mm-hmm. you understood why he might walk away. This is different for Luck, though, in my view. What are your thoughts on it? I'll shut up for a second.
Yeah, no, because you hit the nail on the head, right? So these were players who had just come off of a championship, and who were basically like faces of the league. Like,
yeah,
there was really no other player bigger than Jordan at the time, right?
Undeniable.
And in that moment.
Yeah.
And had taken the Bulls to three consecutive championships. So you're mm-hmm. right. So the fact that, like, retiring, they could have easily won however many more after that.
Sure.
So I would say the only comparison, if you make one, between Jordan and Luck is the fact that they were both at their prime, because Andrew Luck has played seven seasons.
This was the start of the seventh. Yes.
So clearly, you know, it's unfair to put the Brady and the Breeze and their age into it, because that's not typical of the lifespan of a quarterback.
Right.
But he definitely, barring the injuries, could have played longer.
Sure. Sure.
So I think that's the only connection I would make. And I wouldn't even really compare it to Jordan. I would find another player to say they retired in their prime and just due to whatever. I mean, I didn't realize that's how people were carrying on last night when this news broke.
It was some OJ, where were you?
Oh, okay.
Right.
I was at dinner.
Right. You were at dinner. Listen, we'll talk about this in a bit. I was watching that trash Florida Miami game, so we're not gonna get distracted though. We're not gonna get distracted.
Right.
But yeah, and you know, I miss the OJ chase. So I'm all about like having the moment where do you know where you were? But, you know, I was at a sleepaway camp. But another story, another time. We're not going to talk about that right now. But I was like, I'm sure like the OJ moment was bigger than this.
Absolutely.
I'm sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was definitely. Yeah. So okay. I'm shocked that comparison was even being made.
It wasn't explicitly made, but the coverage strikes me as kind of similar to the footage I've seen of how people were reacting to the OJ chase in real time. You know, the interesting thing about you've mentioned Luck's injuries. You know, I think that but for that, I think it's safe to say he's not retiring.
Right.
I was doing a little research earlier and didn't have a full appreciation for the extent of the injuries. Pretty profound. I do recall him playing through those shoulder issues in 16 and then missing all of 17, recuperating from that, having like that comeback breakthrough, you know, reawakening season last year. But like torn labrums, lacerated kidney where like right. he's urinating blood.
Right.
And, you know, the calf injury that he suffered this offseason, which ultimately he said some pretty, which ultimately led to him retiring. You know, he talked about feeling like he was in this this cycle
of just trying to injury, rehab, playing, injury, rehab, and just losing the excitement and love that he had for the game.
Exactly.
Totally makes sense. Totally.
And this is a dude who always, if nothing else, he always had a lot of joy for the game. I mean, this was a dude that would get sacked and pat the defender on the behind like, good job. Like, you really
right.
you really tore my labrum on that one. That was excellent.
I'm going to feel that.
Like, yeah. But so, yeah. you know, in addition to his, like, his skill set, like, his joy was part of the appeal. And I think that's what's shocking about it, is that somebody who had so much joy for the game, and frankly, and you and I have discussed this before, like, there was a certain sect of fandom that just so desperately needed Andrew Luck to be the next coming of Tom Brady.
Right.
And granted, he showed flashes of it, but he never fully realized that. So I think a lot of this shock and like reaction is coming out of like realizing like this guy that we had placed all this hope in is not going to be that person.
Right. And yes, I would agree with you. But I think it's also, I admire him for being able to say at 29 years old,
absolutely,
I'm not going to continue to go through this.
What I'm not
going
to do.
Right.
I'm not going to do it.
Yeah. Like, I have broken things that, like, he has torn and broken things that I've not, like, where is that on the body?
Abdomen. How do you tear your abdomen?
I have no idea.
Listen,
I did
10 crunches at boxing boot camp on Friday.
Right.
Struggle bus.
Right.
And my abdomen, I think, is intact.
Right.
So, torn abdomen,
guys? A torn abdomen. And you are in your 20s.
And at least one concussion, just, you
right.
know, to top it off. Yeah. So, when you look at the list of injuries and that they've all kind of happened kind of seemingly 2000, I don't know if you want to, I don't know when. Like one of, I think the lacerated, he played with a lacerated kidney in a game against Peyton once he had gone to the Broncos, if I'm not mistaken.
That sounds
so that would have been maybe in 14. So some of these injuries predate the shoulder injury, the really kind of game changing shoulder injury in 16. So most of his career, he's been in some form of injury or rehab.
Mm-hmm.
And that just, I can't imagine.
Yeah, it wouldn't be fun for me either if I'm constantly rehabbing something.
Yeah.
And you're just not able to play, and especially not able to play at the level that you want.
Right.
Because it's something. It's a shoulder. It's a calf.
Abdomen. If it's not one thing, it's another.
It's,
you know, it's kind of like Boogie Cousins, not to veer off into that lane, but my heart aches for him that he works to come back from, was it an ACL or Achilles before he signed with the Warriors? Like, whatever that was, lower leg injury. He works to come back from it. Has the season where he doesn't quite reach the potential with the Warriors last year. Gets signed by the Lakers. And then another ACL? And he's out.
Yeah. So this was supposed to be the redemption, the comeback.
Exactly.
Same for Luck. I'm sure it was the same thing.
Same for Luck. And he just, 29 is young. But, I talked about this kind of in another platform. But for him to have the awareness, I want more for my life than this. And he said quite poignantly in the press conference, I'm choosing me.
Yep.
And, it's hard to walk away as it is. And he got choked up. I guess I'm choosing me. And that it takes a lot of strength for a 29-year-old. I'm disappointed in the Colts fans who found it necessary to boo him. And I know that the way things happened from a timing standpoint wasn't how it was supposed to happen.
Right. End of the preseason. They're about to roll into regular season with who now as their quarterback. I'm sure they wanted Luck. Luck wanted to be there. Well, but yeah, I wasn't. I didn't think that was right. So, and that's always how it
has to be. That's the nature of the beast. And that's why, it can get, and when you're all in, it's great. But when that one or two elements of what makes your team, when they're lost, it changes the whole trajectory of your season.
Right.
And so now next man up, Jacoby Brissett. We'll see. Now, what's interesting is, I think it would be a poor fit just based on a number of factors, but you've heard about the dearth of available quarterbacks in the free agent market, and there's just no talk of Kaepernick. There's not even a hint. He's not even – people talk about Josh McCown coming out of retirement and getting signed before they'll even consider Kaepernick as a viable option. But I don't think, to the extent that there is an opportunity for Kaepernick to join a team, I'm not sure that the Indianapolis Colts is the right fit for him anyway. But it's just interesting to note that Kaepernick isn't even referenced.
Nope. Not even
as being available. So good luck to Andrew
Luck.
Good
luck to Luck. Right. Yeah, we do wish him all the best in whatever the next phase of his life and career bring to him.
And he has enough going on, of his interests outside of football. And the guy is of means. And so I'd predict that his adjustment, his transition to something other than playing every Sunday will be relatively smooth. He'll be okay. In other NFL news, your boys, because I'm going to put them in they stay in the bumped your head category, AB and Zeke.
Yes.
Who you want first?
So, so it's like when the parents argue or have the child, and when the child does something wrong, it's like, this is your child.
This is
how I feel. Zeke and AB are in this cat. So now they're my boys.
Right. Nice. Hit your children.
Right. Okay.
They're out here acting a fool.
Let's see. Eeny, meeny. Let's take Zeke first.
Either one. Let's go.
Okay. So yeah, Zeke. Still holding out?
Still holding out. You posted on our Facebook page about he's changed his hair stylings. Mm-hmm. I did not see a picture.
The picture that was in the article, I couldn't quite make out what the hairstyle was. I know it's not what
it once was.
Right.
Okay.
It's just different. So
who do you think should be the one that should be more willing to move, the Cowboys or Zeke? Is there anybody that you think is being unreasonable in their position at this point?
No, I think Zeke has been clear. He's like, I was rushing leader. Pay me more than what the other running backs make.
Yeah.
Who were not the rushing leader last year. So, right. I mean, that's been the trend, right? I don't think he's being unreasonable. I think, what is it, 4 or 5 years, 50 some odd million roughly, I think is what he's asking. Pay him.
Okay. Yeah, and I think they have offered to make him the second highest paid running back, which probably doesn't sit well with him, given his performance.
No.
Where I'm torn about this thing is, on one hand, we know that that running backs have a very short shelf life, like their window of opportunity to perform at a high level is very short. I mean, not every running back gets to have a career like Adrian Peterson.
Right.
But he's not run out his rookie contract. So it's like, but he has no control of the rookie contract, right? Like that is dictated by the CBA.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, fundamentally, it comes down to why can't rookies individually negotiate their contracts? Because if you had that, then some of this wouldn't be as much of a rub from, well, he's smack dab in the middle of his contract or whatever. He has a year or two left. There's a part of me, too, that thinks that, Zeke, behaviorally, you hadn't just been a ray of sunshine for your team.
Oh, no. He hadn't been a ray even when he was in college.
Right,
so,
right.
Yeah.
So there's a part of me that's like, can you knock a couple million off of your number just based on the hardship?
It's like just the cost of doing business with me.
Just the cost of like, yes, I'm going to knock off 10 million because that's perhaps what you've spent having to deal with my shenanigans from a PR standpoint and the staffing standpoint. I don't know. So I just feel like there is a part of me that I understand his position and support it from like a philosophical standpoint. There is a part of me that believes that it'd be dope if he would give a little, maybe not fully capitulate to where they are, but give a little or at least acknowledge like, yeah, I know, some type of reassurance, like if you give me this money, I promise I'll be a good boy. But I'm not hearing that, and it's not for me to hear necessarily, but there is a part of me that's like, Zeke, now you've not just been on the straight and narrow these last several seasons.
And I would love to believe that the money would put him on the straight and narrow, but I also don't know what the Cowboys, I know it was, you know, would make him the second behind Gurley, but I don't know what they offered him.
Right. Right.
So I don't know if it was 30 million or 45, which like you said, just knock that $18 million off. Let's just meet in the middle.
Let's just meet in the middle. But yeah, I get it. So he's in Cabo. He and Jerry are both getting hurt feelings over a joke Jerry made. And so we'll see where this Cowboy saga ends. Your other child.
Antonio.
AB.
Yes.
He's got some helmet. His helmet is apparently his whoopee. He cannot let the thing go. His second helmet-related grievance was denied earlier today. Or at least it was reported earlier today. And the Players Association isn't even supporting him in this. Like, they have sided with the NFL. Like, the Players Association and the NFL are in agreement. The helmet he wants to use is not safe, does not meet our safety standard. So, I got to think this has to be about more than a helmet. Because the attachment seems a little unnatural.
Right. So, you know, we had this discussion within our Facebook group with numerous posts about one that started with the foot issues he was having, but then also mixed in with the helmet. And one of our drivers made a comment that, you know, all of this is just fluff, and it's really because he doesn't want to play in the
it's
preseason.
It's a stall in the preseason. Yeah, I hope that driver is right.
Which it's possible, but
the helmet is like the hill he wants to die on over this. Like,
yeah.
And listen, as we've just mentioned earlier in this episode, Julio Jones is not playing in the preseason. And we know why. I mean, he's a veteran and he doesn't need, he trains well and is disciplined throughout the year, but also he's trying to negotiate a new contract.
Mm-hmm.
But we know that come whenever the date of a regular season, Julio's going to be on the field. So I don't have a problem with AB with his level of discipline that he brings. You know, he's not a slacker. If AB would just say, yeah, I don't want to play in the preseason, I would more readily like embrace that than like the subterfuge over a helmet.
Yeah, but I don't know. It could be just the shell game of I'm going to say it's the helmet and I really don't want to play instead of just saying I'm not playing in the preseason. But I did read something in one article earlier once I once I read that they denied his appeal.
Right.
That he was close to picking a new helmet, and that this decision came along with some custom-made model helmet that he'll have and an endorsement deal. Okay. So now, it was in one article that I read. I didn't get a chance before we, you know, started recording to, you know, really look into it more. But stay tuned for that. If yeah. that was part of it, too, is to, okay, so now I've made a big deal about I can't use my old helmet. And so, okay, now let me, you know, I've drawn all this attention. So let me go ahead yeah. and pick out this new one. And oh, by the way.
So, right. No. Yeah. I'm gonna make a little money off of it.
Make let, a little
let me get
money.
An endorsement. And I did see some article referencing an endorsement deal connected to a helmet. But like you, I hadn't delved into that enough to be able to speak to what the nature of that deal might look like. So
right.
we will continue to keep our eye on your boys. Yeah. Until they start acting right, they are yours.
I would love to say I gladly receive them, but
yeah,
I do not.
I would reluctantly receive them. I'm not mad at
it
you.
It is very
that.
Reluctant.
Yeah, like ugh. Yeah. Other NFL related stuff. When we last, either our last live or our last podcast recording, it was maybe the evening after it had been announced, or the evening of the day in which it had been announced that Jay-Z was getting the partnership with the NFL,
mm-hmm.
the contract to do the, to basically be the, to manage the artist portfolio for their, tent side events. And for him to be what I would call a consultant from a social justice initiative standpoint, helping them modify or add more depth to their current social justice platform that they have with the Players Coalition, Inspire Change, I think is the name of it. And so we learned a little bit more since that evening, because he and Goodell had a press conference the following day, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we learned that he did not speak to Kaepernick before this deal was made,
right.
but he did speak to him, I guess, once the deal was made, but before the press conference. Some reporting from Jemele Hill has indicated that Cap did not take that conversation well and was not in support of the arrangement. We know Eric Reed, Cap's mm-hmm. comrade, fellow kneeler, currently with the Carolina Panthers, has come out saying that Jay-Z has effectively buried Cap's cause by virtue and career by virtue of making this this business move.
Right.
Kenny Stills with the Dolphins made similar remarks regarding Jay-Z and remarked that, you know, Jay-Z never took a knee. He's never played
right.
a day of football. He can't be the one to declare when kneeling is over.
Right. And we move on to progress and whatever
and
the next step
actionable
is for
items.
Action.
Right,
right.
Right. Actionable items. So very fascinating. I am taking a, what I think we both talked about taking a wait and see approach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause we just don't know. And before passing any type of judgment as to what this will be and what all of this will mean, I am willing to just see how this all kind of plays out. Still understanding the position that Reed and Cap and Stills and probably some others who have not been as vocal take on it. But it's interesting. And then there's been a lot of, you know, well, now is Jay-Z on this path to ownership? And then, well, what about Cap? Why wasn't Cap included as part of it? Does it mean, you know, is he coming into the fold? Does he play? I don't think
Who
one
knows?
Has anything to do with the other. But yeah, we'll see what this partnership bears.
Well, let me pull a Kanye and say, I'm going to say this. Let me Bogart to say, I'm going to say this. Like,
did you just take my microphone?
I just, yeah, I,
did you just
you
come
not,
on stage?
You are not
take...
Taylor Swift, friend. You have never been Taylor Swift.
I am gonna
gaffle for a second and say, like, Jay has given millions of dollars to social justice causes.
He has
put money in initiatives and projects that educate the public and others about social justice issues, and there's no taking that away from him. But that is manifestly different. That is being able to stroke a check for such things is manifestly different from being able to provide advice about how to pursue and promote social justice initiatives.
And to the extent
that I have read people kind of caping up for Jay on some, Jay has bona fides in the social justice space. He's given to this, he's given to that. He's done this project highlighting Khalif Browder and this project. Yes, all of that. He has no doubt been a supporter of social justice initiatives. I'm not sure that that in and of itself qualifies him to take on the role. He's not stroking a check to the NFL for its Inspire Change initiative.
Right.
He's coming in as a subject matter expert.
On social justice.
On social justice. That is different from being a philanthropist who focuses on social justice initiatives.
Mm-hmm.
So show and prove. That's all. And so and this is more than getting Meek Mill and Robert Kraft in a room for a panel discussion. And I don't mean to trivialize it. I'm just saying, like, he's going to have to meaningfully bring credible voices in the social justice space and from the spectrum of that space to bear for it to appear genuine and authentic and meaningful and substantive to me personally. I'm one of millions with an opinion on this. That's just me, though.
No, I agree. And it's also more because, like you said, the partnership was like focused on this entertainment aspect of what he's bringing to the table.
Right.
So I also need more than Cardi B and Rihanna and some of these other artists who declined to be entertainment at the Super Bowl because of Kaepernick and, you know, the NFL stance on, you know, the blackballing and all of that. I need more than that to happen at the Super Bowl to be, okay, so you can That's have right. an artist talk about for 7 minutes
right.
while they're on stage to have this empowering whatever music that, okay, great.
But, you know, what's interesting about some of the more prominent artists who said, no, I'm not going to perform at the Super Bowl, some of those artists did perform at Super Bowl-related events.
Right.
So they didn't have a complete, like, protest of all things Super Bowl. Cardi B performed at a Super Bowl-related event
mm-hmm.
at sure Congress did. Center. I can't speak to Rihanna, but so it's also very interesting, like, how far people did or didn't take their protest. They did the events that weren't televised.
Right. So. Convenient no? how that works yeah. out.
Did you see it? Great.
No? I did.
Wonderful. No. Yeah. So again, we'll keep our eye on it. I do think Jay has taken, just for how it went down with Kaepernick in particular, forget what he's going to do in the social justice space. Put that aside for a second. Just how Cap's lack of involvement in this conversation before the deal was made, I think exposes Jay to some legitimate criticism. And I'm one of the critics. I do think that's a legitimate, and we have the capacity to constructively criticize Jay while acknowledging the good he's done. Like, they're not mutually exclusive. We can do both.
Right.
So,
yeah, because, you know, lost in the original why Cap kneeled, that whole the original reason for that has yeah. gotten lost. And then Absolutely. It's even more so with this deal. And so I completely agree with you. It's the why not then bring him back into the fold. And I'm not even talking about playing. So it would be wonderful if he could play for another. Great. But that's not even
what this is about.
No.
It's not.
If he never plays for the NFL again, he'll be fine. But I do think the bringing him to the table in this partnership would have been more meaningful for me, since he was kneeling on the sidelines without saying a thing to anybody.
Right.
The media picked right. it up and right. ran with it.
Right.
He didn't announce that he was kneeling and why. The media caught hold of that story and asked.
Sure.
And so why not bring it back to the original reason as to why he started kneeling in the first place and
Absolutely.
Have that as the focal point of this whole partnership and what you're really trying to do.
Nah, Jay knew what he was doing.
Right.
Jay knew.
Money, so, money.
A little bit. But again, once a capitalist, always a capitalist.
Yeah.
And so we will continue to keep our eye on this story. So let's we have talked a lot about the NFL. Let's segue over for a second and talk about an NBA related story.
Yes.
Just this week, the ESPN, in partnership with the Undefeated, released or published a limited series podcast called The Sterling Affairs. And it's all about Donald Sterling, former owner of the Los Angeles Clippers, and the saga that led to his ouster and his divestment of ownership, or his selling the team, in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you for the reminder that this was being issued. I had lost sight of it. What a series.
Yeah, so five episodes,
yep.
I didn't want to stop listening. And then I wanted more.
Right, like,
over.
Come on, what's the deal now? Like, what's going on? Tell me more. Yeah,
right.
Fascinating. Ramona Shelburne did a great job of reporting, especially having the vantage point of being a reporter who covered mm-hmm. it in real time.
Right.
As it was unfolding 5 years ago. Forgot how mad racist this guy was towards his towards his players, like the commodification of black bodies and this big black buck, and having women, I guess what the podcast is, just white women in particular, coming into the locker room and having them pointing out like how nice and built and ogling their bodies,
mm-hmm.
and having the players relay in the podcast discomfort.
Right. Right. Because Blake Griffin was interviewed.
Right.
And it's like, yeah. So in the locker room, it's like, well, I'm, you know, halfway dressed or I'm naked. And then, yeah, you're showing off talking about my shoulders and my rock hard abs. And it's just,
yeah.
This is weird. And then the white parties that he would have.
Right.
And kind of showcasing them in the same way, but
right.
at the party. So...
The only thing missing was like an auction block.
Right. Because that was the visual that I started to just
yeah.
in like in the movie Get Out. Like that was that was the visual that came to mind with them describing and retelling like how like those situations would kind of play out. I like you said, I lost some of that just over time and just probably wasn't aware of a lot of what was going on. And especially even before he took over the Clippers with the housing discrimination.
Yep.
Like I didn't know he was sued by the Department of Justice. So
yeah. Yeah. And let me, as an employment lawyer, let me tell you, back then, well, this would have been, well, he was sued by the DOJ probably under, was that 07, 08 time frame, I think so.
So
it would have been Bush 2. So typically an individual plaintiff, a person, will sue, right?
Right.
But when the Department of Justice or the Department of Labor decides like, no, your actions are so egregious, like we are going to be the party suing you, there's usually some fairly egregious behavior behind that.
Right.
Like, they don't do that for everybody.
Right.
That's not very common. So, yeah, it's very damning, obviously, for a revisiting of his bad behavior over decades. And you have a better appreciation for why the team so poorly performed from whenever he purchased it, 81 until 2014. And so
mm-hmm.
You understand why the team was a joke for so many years. The podcast also does a good job, in my mind, indicting the NBA and David Stern.
Absolutely.
Like, because y'all knew about the behavior and didn't intervene.
Right.
For decades.
Yeah, he was tolerated for this entire time and just completely overlooked for anything. I mean,
yeah.
When the Department of Justice brings charges, I mean, they had so many opportunities just even before that incident to call him out for what he was doing before 2014.
His treatment of Elgin Baylor alone.
Oh, my gosh.
And I didn't have an appreciation for that fact pattern until this listening to the podcast.
Right.
That alone, this legend in this NBA space, Hall of Famer. And this is how he gets treated, and
mm-hmm.
and the NBA doesn't intervene. So,
Nothing.
You know, thank God for Adam Silver. I mean, the timing of it, I mean, Silver had only been in the job, what, they say six
weeks? Like,
He had just like unpacked his boxes the previous day. Yeah. And next day he's in a press conference saying, yeah, I'm kicking him off the NBA planet. Like, he's banished to a whole nother world. He can't come to any more NBA related anything. And that's that. He's banned for life. He's gone.
For life.
And, you know, thank God for Silver coming into the role when he did, because God bless, you know, appreciate all that David Stern did for the NBA. I mean, he is to the NBA what Pete Rozelle was for the NFL, right? Like, he, from a business marketing standpoint, took it next level. But for this piece, this is disappointing. I mean, especially as a lawyer. Especially as a lawyer.
I agree. Because, I mean, when the owner of the team is on record saying that he wants to intentionally tank the season so that they can continue to get first round, or even the first pick in the draft.
Right. Right.
Yeah. That doesn't necessarily inspire motivation to play.
No, it absolutely doesn't. It absolutely doesn't. The comments he made about the several comments he made about Magic Johnson.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And just about black people. Why don't have them on my sideline? Why do you have them? Yeah, I mean, and the mistress was, she knew what she was doing, clearly. But I mean, he's so racist, he couldn't even hide it.
Right.
And I know ultimately he was declared incapacitated, and that's how the wife is able to single-handedly decide to sell the team.
Mm-hmm.
He's not getting a pass, you know, he's not getting the incapacitation pass for full-on decades of racist behavior. He's just not getting it from me.
No, the track record was there prior
before onset. Yes, prior to onset, absolutely.
So absolutely. Yeah, but it's definitely a series worth checking out. 30 for 30, they do a very good job. And like you said, Ramona Shelver did an excellent job.
She knocked it out the
park. Reporting that. Yeah.
Knocked it out the park. What else? Just one more NBA thing to just mention. Dwight Howard's back. I wish you all could see the expression on Andrea's face right now. It's classic. Dwight Howard just got signed over Melo, over Joakim Noah, over some other cat whose name escapes me. just got signed to the Lakers. Again,
they went and plucked Dwight out and said,
you get a job. Oprah.
Right.
Yeah. So he's back. You know, Kobe's gone. Steve Nash is gone.
Right.
But LeBron is there. So it'll be really interesting to see what that dynamic looks like. It'll be really interesting to see. I hope he is mature enough now. I'm not confident, but I do hope that the maturity and most importantly, or equally as important at least, some self-awareness.
Yes. So I was just about to say that, because that list, that the self-awareness or lack of list that you had on, he should have been included on there, and I failed to think about him at the time.
We're going to go back and add him. Yes.
He should be on there. He should. I know, what was it, one article that said, oh, he had such a great practice, the first practice back with the Lakers. And I was, listen, I had such high hopes for Dwight, especially when he was, his time with the Hawks. And it just.
Yeah. He just can't, he cannot keep. That silly part of him, that part of him that just, and I wrote about this in a blog piece I did 6 years ago about him, but that part of him that's just not a leader. Like, he just, he's just so happy to be, he just loves living life, and he loves just experiencing life, and he's winning by virtue of the way he's living his life. So is winning on the court historically not a focus? Because he's winning in life, right?
Because he's winning in life. But I have a feeling.
These teams don't make money off of winning in life.
No, and that was Kobe's issue, and I'm sure it will be LeBron's. Right.
I'm sure it will, too.
Like, it needs to translate
into W's. And, you know, LeBron's going to take a mad, like, to the extent that he's dissatisfied with, and we know he's Mr. Passive Aggressive.
Right.
And Kobe's just Mr. Aggressive. Like, Kobe can take the passive off that thing. Like, Kobe would just come straight at the thing.
Right. There was nothing passive about
No, Kobe there's nothing Bryant. Passive. LeBron's got more of a passive aggressive leadership style. So I foresee or predict that to the extent that he's dissatisfied with how Dwight brings himself to the thing, there'll be some really interesting stories around how LeBron demonstrates his dissatisfaction.
Yeah.
More to watch. I mean, the Lakers, I mean, it's the Lake Show, all right. They are really trying to come back with that thing.
Yeah, I'm not sure if this is what they had in mind, but
I'm ready for it. I'm here for it.
Yeah.
You got anything else on the NBA side before we hop over to college football for a quick second?
No, we can. I'm sure there'll be more for our next chat.
Yeah, absolutely.
But let's see what college football.
College football is back. Week zero started yesterday.
and the game apparently.
And the game was just, the score was just about 0-0. Let me tell you, they tried to not score. So there were two games to my knowledge yesterday. The late Pac-12 game was Hawaii and Arizona. I believe Hawaii won that game. But the primetime game that was the focus of most of the publicity in week zero was the Florida Gators versus the University of Miami.
Yeah, and it's been a while since they've played.
Right? So they have an in-state rivalry that went on from sometime maybe in the 40s until 1987?
Mm-hmm.
And Florida decided for whatever reason to cut it off. So they had, they've played before, they've played since then, but it's not a regularly scheduled game on their calendar.
Right.
And I was reading an article that said that is how their respective games against Florida State became the next big, it was after they stopped playing that Miami, Florida State became a big thing. Florida State became a big thing.
Okay.
So Florida's ranked number 8th. Full disclosure, I have a degree from Florida as of last summer. Look on Andrea's face. and so, for I Roll Tide for the purposes of last night. I was pulling for my most recent alma mater, and they were woefully disappointing. I was not very impressed by their lack of discipline. I don't know how, with just minutes left in a game where you're up 20-24, you turn over the ball on a senseless play in which you pass the ball into three defenders and one of whom catches it. And they are the Canes in the subsequent possession. It's 4th and 34. And convert to a first down off of a Florida pass interference.
On 4th and 34. Okay.
So Florida's got some work to do. We'll keep an eye on them. They're ranked 8th. I don't know that I see that ranking really
really kind of holding
standing.
Okay.
I mean, once we get the full round of play this upcoming weekend, I felt that they will, I would think, invariably drop in the just when other teams will more fully dominate where they're supposed to. Because Miami was unranked. So they should have handled them, and they absolutely didn't. So, that's the beginning of college football. We got the big kickoff coming up this weekend. Bama, who's only scheduled to play 3 ranked teams, well, ranked in the preseason. Bama is playing Duke. I'm not sure where. Andrea, you know off top?
I don't know.
I don't think it's Atlanta. It might be Dallas. It's a neutral site. I know it's a neutral site. I'm just not sure of the location. And I know it's a 2:30. I'm assuming it's the CBS game on Saturday. You looking that up right quick?
I am. And, of course, I can't tell where the game is.
I had it up here somewhere. I think it's either Orlando.
Because they've played at the at Jerry's World before, right?
They did.
To open the season?
They did. This isn't saying where the game is. But
so the game is actually in Atlanta.
It is in Atlanta. Wow. Who knew?
On Saturday.
Huh. We'll miss that. I could have sworn it was either back in Texas or in Florida. But so the game is at the Benz, presumably.
Yes.
On Saturday at 3:30 Eastern.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see what other matchups we have going on.
We have the wonderful...
What ranked matchups do we have on Saturday?
What ranked?
both teams ranked. What do we have? Here we go. Do we have any? Your UAB Blazers are playing Alabama State on this Thursday. Here in Birmingham, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have... I'm not seeing one game where there are any where both opponents are ranked unless I am just completely missing it.
No, I see a Clemson Georgia Tech on Thursday.
No,
I see a lot of
folks are playing a lot of non-conference.
Yeah,
out of LSU, conference games.
Georgia Southern, Auburn and Oregon. That's Saturday night.
Saturday, yeah. Okay, so that is. And where's that? You see that location?
I think it's in Auburn.
So that's the game. That's a game to watch right there. That's got some playoff implications to it for sure. 6:30 on ABC. Okay. Yeah. That's the big game. And even the game on Monday night, sometimes they try to have ranked teams play on in the Monday night game, but it's ranked Notre Dame against an unranked Louisville. So there's that. So football is back, y'all. So we'll have that. We'll have some NFL. We'll have some NFL football, fourth week preseason football on Thursday. And then a whole bunch of football, college football, basically the rest of the weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Opening weekend, week one.
Yeah,
Thursday week one through Monday. So
yeah. Yeah.
Be a
so,
nice long holiday weekend.
Indeed. Indeed.
Get back into some football action.
Absolutely. So anything else in the college football space? How are you feeling about Alabama this year?
I feel as though it's going to be an interesting season for them. Now that we've talked a little bit about the schedule, just with the players and coaching staff. So it's going to be, I don't know. We're going to take it week by week.
Wait and see.
Week by week.
Week by week. Wait
week
and
by
see.
Week.
Yeah, I agree. I'm curious to see what, obviously to see if Tua has improved upon some of the things that he, you know, some of the decision making. And I know he was kind of hobbled and injured towards the end of this past season. Not to take away. Listen, Clemson handled their business in that championship game. So this there's no like, well, if we had nah.
No.
They just came and brought it. And so we got to take that L. we got
to
take that L. But I am curious to see what Tua looks like and whether this work with Sarkisian as, you know, whether there's some benefit reaped from that. I'm curious to see what the team culture looks like without Jalen Hurts in the locker room. There's not enough discussion around the impact that someone like a Jalen has on a locker room. So
on the flip side of that, I'm curious to see what Oklahoma will look like with Jalen
with Jalen in the spot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I can't see much from a culture standpoint. They're certainly ahead of the game having him in the space.
Yeah.
And I love Tua. Can he step up and be a Jalen though? In that sense, we'll see. They lost some key. I mean, they lost Quinnen.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I'm going to blank on because several Bama players were drafted in the first round, if I'm not mistaken. But of course, mm-hmm. I'm blanking on a number of them.
That's okay.
Yeah. So, and that Quinnen, I know that like his breakout season was his last season, but he feels like he's irreplaceable. But Alabama's always done a good job of like next man up and So it'll be interesting to see who coach has cultivated into these up and rising positions and slots, because they're going to have something of a leadership void. So wishing the boys luck. Hope they bring it.
Yep. So shall we close out our time here?
We shall. So in this week's Black Girls Magic moment, we want to do something a little different. We're not going to big up or shout out a Black woman athlete. We're going to shout out a woman rapper by the name of Rapsody. She just dropped her second full album this week. It's called Eve, and it's a dope concept album. The concept is every song is named after an influential, meaningful Black woman of some, you know, historical significance. So there are songs named after Michelle Obama and Maya Angelou, Whoopi Goldberg, Serena Williams, Tyra Banks.
Oprah, Aaliyah.
Nina Simone.
Yep.
There is the second Egyptian pharaoh, and I'm going to try to pronounce this correctly, Hatshepsut, is a song she has on there, and it's featuring Queen Latifah. And so the concept is like, Rapsody is a queen giving honor and tribute and homage to Queen Latifah, who inspired her as a rapper. So the concept is dope. The song's about Serena, and she has a song about Ibtihaj Muhammad, mm-hmm. the Olympic fencer, the first Muslim to bronze in fencing. Is that?
She was. Was the first woman to wear the hijab.
Hijab, yeah. Yes. The first hijab wearing Muslim to medal. Perhaps medal in any sport, but certainly in fencing. It's a dope album. I am strongly recommending you all listen to it. It, for me as a Black woman, it is very, it's very affirming, and it's very uplifting to hear these songs that, if the lyrics aren't like directly about the person that she's paying homage to, like the ethos and the feel of the songs make you think or put you in the mind of the person. And so for me, the song that most puts me in the feeling of the person is the song she has named after Michelle Obama featuring Elle Varner. So thank you, Rapsody. As a Black woman, as sports fans, for this collection, these collections of songs that you've put out with these special themes, especially the songs you've tributed to Black women athletes, because they need all the support and love and help that we can give them.
Absolutely. I can't wait to listen to it. The first track was great. So yeah,
it's
wait to listen to the entire album.
It knocks. So yeah, that is it for this week's, folks. As we've indicated, we got a lot of stuff coming down the pike as far as sports stuff. College football will get started in earnest this upcoming week. NFL is going to take this little week break before they get started with the full regular season a week and a half or so from now. We got U.S. Open action.
Yep.
Look, live. If you find yourself out at Billie Jean King Center between Wednesday and Friday and see us out in these mean tennis streets, say what up.
Yeah, come and say hello.
Come and say hello. If you're going to be
Open.
Andrea, thank you. And if you're already on our page, like, let us know. We'd love to see you around somewhere. So for those tribers who are on our Facebook page, definitely let us know if you're going to be at the Open. Andrea, you got anything else?
No, I think we've covered quite a bit today. And more to come. Looking forward to hanging out at the Open.
Right. And so, Rashida West, we are headed your way. We will see you in a couple of days. And guys, we will see you soon out in the Black Girls Vibe. Peace, y'all.